Praise the Lord, everybody. Turn around to somebody, shake their hand and shout revival. Now give the Lord a great big hand clap for Holy Ghost revival. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter number 4. How marvelous and exciting to see this brother baptized tonight in the name of the Lord. Thank God for hungry hearts, and thank God for witnesses that are willing, capable, and prepared to share the good news of the gospel with a world that is hungry. 2 Kings chapter 4 in your Bibles tonight. Thank you so very much for the kind invitation, wonderful hospitality, response to the word of the Lord, and overall appreciation for what the Lord is doing right now. And we thank you so much for the privilege of being here with you. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. I've always been impressed by this little lady's perception of proper order and priority. She said, he was your servant, first of all. And then he was my husband. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came, told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The scripture said, the creditor is come. The creditor is come. I want to preach to us tonight on the subject, meeting the demand of the day. Meeting the demand of the day. How many know that time is running out for world evangelism? We need to lift our hands right now and let's ask the Holy Ghost to step in here in a greater dimension and challenge our spirits for old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Would you lift your hands? Let's pray right now. Hallelujah. Let's lift a strong voice to the Lord right now. God, we call on your name tonight for the moving of the Spirit under this tent, for the shaking of the Holy Ghost, for the visitation of the supernatural. We bless your name tonight, Father, and we give you the praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. I feel and sense a thick cloud of God's glory in this tabernacle tonight, waiting for us to touch it. And he's going to do some marvelous things in our spirits. Everybody say, it's time for it to happen. You may be seated. The notices are over. No longer is it simply request. It is now a demand. That which at one time was a mere correspondence and communication, a simple note every once in a while of invitation, now stands pounding at the door. The notices are over. The grace period is extinguished. The deadline is today. For the Bible said the creditor is come. It is now life or death. Produce what is demanded or suffer the undesired ramifications. There is no hiding. There is no running, and there is no escaping. The creditor is come. He's at the door, and it's pounding, and it's beating, and it's an inevitable confrontation with that which God has ordained this church for. Revival is no longer an attractive alternative. It is no longer spiritual selection or a contemplative consolation. Revival is now the demand of the day. It is now the demand of the day. It is now revival for survival. The days of status quo are ceased. The hour of mundane Pentecostalism is over. The time of holding the fort and just continuing on is ended. We must have an apostolic, old-fashioned, Jesus' name revival. Clap your hands to the Lord right now. The Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor. This Jesus' name apostolic church, this United Pentecostal Church, is in debt to this generation. The hurting are demanding, you owe me a healer. The lost are demanding, you owe me true Bible salvation. The bound are demanding, you owe me deliverance. The sad are demanding, you owe me joy. The defeated are demanding, you owe me victory. The oppressed are demanding, you owe me relief. The lonely are demanding, you owe me a friend. Those in the darkness of error are demanding, you owe me the truth. The depressed are demanding, you owe me hope. Those that are tired of dead, lifeless religion are demanding, you owe me an old-fashioned Holy Ghost camp meeting atmosphere. We cannot be thankful we had it for ourselves. We now must produce it for the world. We must now have it for our generation. A world at its worst demands a church at its best. We owe this generation a one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost apostolic, hell horrifying, heaven honoring, Jesus exalting, devil debasing revival. Stand up right now and shout, I owe my generation a revival. I owe my generation a revival. And it's time we meet the demand of the day. Before you sit down, let me say this to you. The last thing this apostolic church needs to do now is to try to become something other than what we have been and what we are. Our generation is ready for this message. Our generation is ready for this power. Our generation is ready for this old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Clap your hands to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. This woman found herself overwhelmed and intimidated by the demand of the day. And she felt hopeless and helpless to come up with a solution that would meet the need. And so she cried out to the man of God. She realized, I need supernatural direction. I need supernatural intervention. Miracles are no longer a consolation. They are a necessity. The power of God is no longer a trinket or toy. It is now an absolute necessity. For it is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There are three things that she did to meet the demand of her day. And there are three things that we must do in order to meet the demand of the day. I shall give them to you, and then I shall preach about each one of them. Number one, she needed to get involved with what was in the house. Number two, she put an emphasis on emptiness. And number three, she made participators out of her sons. The only way this church can meet the demand of this day is to get involved with what's in the house. Put an emphasis on emptiness. And then get our sons involved and become not pew dwellers, but participators in an apostolic Book of Acts last day revival. She cried to the man of God. And the man of God seemed to be sarcastic in his response. When he said, why are you calling on me? What can I do? He said, what is in your house? What do you have in your house? I want to preach to us tonight that our answers are not outside the church. Our answer is not outside the house. He said, what do you have in your house? We don't need external assistance. What we need to reach our generation is in this house. I said, it's right here tonight. There is a worldwide revival under this tent right now. There is a devil defeating revival under this tent tonight. There is worldwide power right under this tent tonight. He said, what do you have in your house? I think it's time that we Pentecostals go back and acknowledge in a greater dimension that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that you've got the Holy Ghost in you. And that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The power is in the church. This church was tailor-made in Acts chapter 2 for a revival that would last until the rapture. And everything we need to meet the demand of the day is in the church. Shout the answer. That was pitiful. I said, shout the answer. Is in the house. The answer is in the house. It's in the church. Everything we need to have revival is in the church. Our answer to the demand is the oil that's in the house. What we are desperately in need of is to maximize what we have and minimize what we don't have. Because I want to tell you, the answer is the oil in the house. It's the Holy Ghost moving in the church. I choose to believe tonight that her response was not that of self-pity or improper priority. The scripture stated so impactfully, and I couldn't appreciate it anymore if I would have written it. This little woman said, I have nothing in the house. And the Bible used a word I really appreciate. And a word that we really appreciate. The Bible said, save. Save. A pot of oil. She said, I have nothing in my house save a pot of oil. I want to preach to you right here that our problem is not an absence of the presence of the oil, but it's an addition of all the other stuff. When you get to where all you've got is oil in the house, you're at the foundation of a Holy Ghost miracle revival. So I'm going to say it like this and then I'll move on. We probably don't need to add anything. We just need to get rid of some stuff. What we need to do is start throwing some stuff out of the house until we're down to nothing but oil. When we get down to nothing but oil, when we get down to nothing but oil, we're ready for a miracle revival. We're trusting in too much junk. We're relying on too many mechanics. We're trusting in too many programs. We need to clean the house and get down to the oil. I have nothing in the house. Say. A pot of oil. You see, she was in an economical crisis. She was in a time of downsizing and budget cutting. Getting rid of everything that wasn't absolutely essential. I know enough about downsizing and budget cutting to know that the order of the departure of things always starts with the less significant and meaningful and moves on to those objects of greatest affection and meaning. If you lose your job and you got to get rid of some stuff, the shotguns go first. The boats go first. The golf clubs go first. And all the ladies said, amen. And Brother Morton said, amen. All the trinkets, all the toys, they go first. And you get closer and closer to what really means something to you as the depth of the economical crunch gets tighter. This woman said, prophet, I've cleaned the yard. There's no livestock. I've cleaned the house. There's nothing there. All I've tried to hold on to is a little pot of oil. I let everything else go, but I've saved my oil. I've turned everything else loose, but I've held on to my oil. Come on, Western District Camp Meeting. If you've got to let some stuff go, keep your oil. If you've got to turn loose of some of the other stuff, make sure you keep your oil. We can do without a lot of the embellishments. We can do without a lot of the trappings and the wrappings. But we've got to have the oil. I said we've got to have the oil. Pentecost, let me remind you tonight, this was not born in the mind of a man. This was not produced by some ingenious trickster, conniver, shyster, or gifted public speaker. This started with a rushing, mighty wind that filled an upper room. And that's what keeps this church alive. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost must never become an entertainment center. Platforms must never become stages. Preachers must never become entertainers. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. Throw the drums out, we can still have church. Pull up the carpet, we can still have church. Knock down the steeple, we can still have church. Throw out the keyboard, we can still have church. Throw out the PA, we can still have church. But when the Holy Ghost is gone, when the all is gone, church is over. You didn't come to camp meeting to watch me do my thing. I hope you came to let the Holy Ghost do a thing in your life, to let the power of God visit your soul. It's not time to cry over what we don't have. He said, what you got in your house? You got something in there. You haven't even thought about it. You haven't given. Hey, we have not given proper attention to what we've got. We haven't began to know what this will do. We haven't began to exhaust the power that's resident in this church. We have not began to touch what God has put in. This is not a physical body. This is a spiritual body. Within it is life. Within it is power. Within it is glory. Within it is deliverance. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's what I don't have. But, because I don't have that, doesn't mean I don't have something. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. You know what he was saying? And I want to tell you tonight. Don't listen to our generation that tells us what they want. It's ridiculous for apostolics to go through the community and ask people what they want in a church. What kind of church would you like to have? What kind of church are you looking for? What kind of program would you like? Forget all of that. What Peter was saying is, lame man, you're asking for coins. I don't have what you want. But I do have what you need. Our church doesn't have what the sinner wants. Our church has got what the sinner needs. The sinner doesn't know what he needs. He just knows what he wants. The lame man wanted some change for his cup. But Peter gave him some change that picked him up. He was asking for a handout. So Peter stuck a handout, and the handout put him on his feet. I want to throw this in right fast and move on. My wife doesn't like this, but I'll turn my back to her while I say it. I said this one time at home and she didn't like it, but I kind of liked it. And so I'll preach with her to my back. The lame man said he wanted alms. Peter, in essence, said, you don't need alms, you need legs. He didn't know what he needed. He was asking for alms and he couldn't even walk. Peter said, you don't need alms, you need legs. Our generation don't know what they need, but I'm going to tell them what they need. They need to repent. They need to be baptized in Jesus' name. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They need to get everything out of their house but the oil. Come on, Apostolic Church. It's time to throw some things out of the house and get back to the oil. Through the Holy Ghost, we can meet the demands of the day. You may be seated. So the first answer was to get involved with what's in the house. The second answer is the one that I feel so strongly, even in this camp meeting tonight. The prophet said, go borrow vessels. There is only one qualification for those vessels. I don't care what color they are. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how little they are. I don't care what they're made out of. The only qualification is they've got to be empty. God's search is for emptiness. God cannot and will not add to fullness. As a matter of fact, when they became full, Scripture said they were set aside. They were no longer involved in the miracle. Pentecost is flattered by fullness. God is searching for emptiness. Our challenge under this tent is to feed full people. Our challenge tonight, and my challenge, is to move people that are so blessed they don't think they need anymore. That's why I'm sweating tonight. That's why I'm straining tonight. It's because I'm preaching to folks who think they're full, who think they've got all they need, who are so blessed they don't realize they need something else. Who come out of churches that are so blessed, they feel like they're full. They brag about full buildings. They brag about full pews. They brag about full baptistries. They brag about full bank accounts. But God is not looking for fullness. God is looking for emptiness. God is looking for emptiness. Somebody that says, I got a touch last week, but I need a touch tonight. Somebody that said, I got a blessing Sunday, but I need a blessing now. Somebody that says we've had revival, but we need more. We need more. Don't get me some vessels. Don't get just a few of them. But make sure they're empty. My miracle is not going to happen where there's fullness. My miracle will end where there's fullness. If you want God in your church, you better stay hungry. If you want revival in your church, you better stay hungry. If you want anointing in your ministry, you better stay hungry. You need to stay empty. I'm talking about in the front of the building. I'm talking about in the back of the building. I'm talking about on the platform. I'm talking about everybody here. What kind of a camp meeting could we have if everybody here would say, God, I feel like I've never had the Holy Ghost and I need it tonight. What kind of revival's not going to come when somebody else gets the Holy Ghost. Revival's going to come when you get the Holy Ghost. I wonder what would happen in the Western District camp meeting if there could come a roar out of those seats tonight. God I need you. God, I've got to have you. God, how long's it been since you were desperate for a move of God? How long's it been since you fought for a touch of God? How long's it been since you gave it everything you had to get a move of the Holy Ghost in your spirit? You may be seated. I feel a witness of the Spirit tonight in this message. Hear me. As long as there was emptiness, there was all. And as soon as the vessels were full, they were pushed aside. Out of the flow. Out of the touch of the flowing of the miracle oil. And as soon as he could not find one more empty vessel, there was no more oil. How much oil do you want in your church? How much oil do we want in this camp meeting? As long as God can find somebody empty. As long as God can find somebody empty. As long as there's an empty vessel. As long as there's somebody going to stand and say, I know I've got the Holy Ghost, I've had it 40 years, but I need a new touch tonight. We're having revival in our church, but I want it to continue. I need another touch of God. The only thing we have to do to stop revival is get full. We're about to die of thirst. And the prophet said, were it not for Jehoshaphat in your midst, I wouldn't even look your direction. But bring me a minstrel. And the hand of the Lord came on him. And this is what he said. Make this valley full of peaches. I'm not going to send my water just to flow over, flow by. But if you'll dig me some ditches, I'll fill them with water. But I'm not going to bring the water if somebody won't dig some ditches. You say, Brother Huntley, I'm in a valley. Good. Get you a shovel and dig some ditches. We have not come to camp meeting to picnic and party and sit on the benches like professional Pentecostals. We need to make this valley full of ditches. We need to dig so God can fill with the rain of the Holy Ghost. God's not looking for prestigious people. God's not looking for powerful names. God's not looking for architectural beautiful buildings. God's not looking for tall steeples. God's not looking for padded pews. God's not looking for thick carpets. God's looking for hungry people. God's looking for thirsty people. God's looking for empty people. God's looking for folks that are starving for Him. Stand up and shout, we've got to have revival. Are you full already? Are you full already? Or is there room for a little more oil? Is there room for a little more Holy Ghost? Is there room for a touch from God? Is there room for a demonstration of the Spirit? Is there somebody that wants to cry out to God? Is there somebody that's desperate for God? Is there somebody that wants a move of God? Have you shouted enough?
Have you seen enough people get the Holy Ghost? Are you satisfied with how many you got in church? Is your building big enough? Have you got all you want? God's not looking for fullness. God's not impressed with fullness. God's looking for emptiness. I want to say this carefully. I want to say it respectfully. But I want to say it sincerely. Be careful when you boast about having the best of everything. As though you have need of nothing. Jesus will not stay where there's fullness. He was outside the church. He is not looking for fullness. He is looking for emptiness. That's why as soon as a person truly repents, God fills them with the Holy Ghost. Because He's looking for emptiness. He's looking for emptiness. Can you climb above last Sunday night's blessing and say, God, I need a touch tonight? Can you climb above 40 years of being a Pentecostal and saying, God, I need a move of the Holy Ghost? Can you get above the miracles that are in your church and say, God, we need a flow tonight? Can somebody fall out in that aisle and start screaming like a hell-bound sinner? I need God. I need God. I need God. I need God. I'm talking about a preacher. I'm talking about a preacher's wife. I'm talking about a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about a bus captain. I'm talking about a Sunday school superintendent. I'm talking about whoever. Somebody. I need God. I need God. I need God. Lift your voice, camp meeting, scream, I need God. Pentecost, we need God. Western District, we need God. She said, come on, boys. You got to help me. Come on, sons. If you don't help me get those vessels, the bondmen are going to take you away. And you're going to be bondmen. Listen to me right now. Some of you got the wrong idea about revival. Listen to me. We'll pray in just a minute. Some of you got the wrong idea about revival. You think revival is just new people coming into your church. You think revival is just filling your pews. But let me give you a biblical concept right here. She said, if we don't have a miracle, my boys are going to be made bondsmen. Revival is no longer just about reaching the world. It's now about keeping our boys off drugs. It's now about keeping our boys off alcohol. If we don't have revival, the creditor is going to take our boys. The creditor is going to take our sons. Young people that are raised in Pentecost, they're not going to sit on a Pentecostal pew that's dead, that's dull, that's boring. The world's too exciting. The lights are too bright. The devil's too busy. When a church is dead, dry, dull, and boring, we're going to lose our kids. We're going to lose our children. We've got to have revival to save our own sons. Kids have got to do more than eat pizza and stay up all night. They got to learn how to fast. They got to learn how to pray. They got to learn how to talk in tongues. They got to learn how to dance in the aisle. They got to learn how to be moved of the Holy Ghost. If we don't get them involved, we will lose them. Revival is not just the end thing to do. Revival is just not the cutting edge group. It's now revival or survival. It's either do or die. It's either life, death. The creditor is at the door and saying, now, pay your debt. I want us to pray right now. Maybe different than you've ever seen it done before. Maybe not. We always pray, God, supply my need. God, meet their need. God, give them something. Well, I'm going to tell you what we need to pray for tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to lay hands on the person beside you if it is the ethical thing to do. And I want you to pray this prayer. God, give them a need. Because the Scripture said, my God shall supply all your need. The only way you get God's supply is if you have a need. If you don't have a need, you'll never touch God's supply. Because God's supply is not just to stack the shelves. God's supply is not just to provide a run over. God's supply is for need. And our greatest challenge is to be convinced we have a need. So I want you to lay your hands on the person beside you right now, all the way to the back. And I want you to pray, God, awaken a need. God, show us our need. Let there come a cry out from under this tent tonight. That's it, louder. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. God comes only where there's a need. That's it, church. Go ahead. I need God. I need a move of God. I need a touch from God. I need a manifestation of God. Somebody fall out in the aisle. Throw your hands up and get desperate. We need God in this camp meeting. We need God in this camp meeting. That's it. Come on. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. He's not looking for fullness. You're not going to impress Him with fullness. He's looking for emptiness. Somebody that's desperate for a touch, make your way to the front of this building right now. Somebody that feels like I've got to have God. Somebody that feels like I can't leave here without a touch.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee.
Somebody that feels like I've got to have an intervention. I've got to have a revival. I've got to have a move of God. The creditor is at the door. The creditor is at the door. It's now or never. It's life or death. Our sons are counting on what happens tonight. Our children are counting on emptiness. Our children are depending on us. church when you feel like you've got enough of God, you're going to lose your kids. When you feel like you've got enough revival, you're going to lose your own. Oh God, we've got to be hungry. We've got to be empty. He's looking for emptiness. What a sight. Everybody lift your hands. I need you, God. We need you, God. This camp meeting needs a move of God. We're desperate for you, Lord. If we don't have it, they're going to take our sons. If we don't have a miracle revival, they're going to take our boys. They're going to be drug addicts. They're going to be alcoholics. They're going to be athletes. They're going to be millionaires without God. They're going to put them in bondage. They're going to put them in bondage. We got to have revival. Emptiness.